Let's talk about little Brian. Little Brian was 5 and a half years old, and he discovered how to overpower his mother. He could make her late for work every day, not ready to go. And she came to me and she said, "Nothing will work with my kid." And I said, "I've got something. I won't guarantee you it will work, but I'll guarantee you it'll be fun." And her eyes kept getting bigger and bigger. And so she went home and she said to little Brian, "Brian, I'm so excited. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to be to work on time every day because my car is going to leave at 7:30. And I know how hard it is for a five-year-old to know what 7:30 looks like. So I made you a clock. See, I drew you this clock, and when this clock looks like that clock over there, then that means it's 7:30 and my car is going. And there's two ways for you to go with me, okay? Dressed is one way and not dressed is the other way, so you decide and we'll see you in the morning." And she went away hoping and praying that he would blow it. And he didn't let her down. At 7:30, he's not ready to go the next morning. And she goes to him and says, "What, everybody?" "No problem." With a smile, she said, "You probably didn't feel like dressing." He said, "No, I didn't feel like dressing today." She said, "Boy, can I understand that? That's how I feel every morning." But she said, "Not to worry. I got this nice little grocery bag. Let's just put your clothes in there. And you can dress whenever you feel like it." And she picks up the grocery bag, and him, in the other hand, goes right straight out the front door. And you know how lucky he was? It snowed last night. He's jumping around on his tiptoes out here. "It's cold out here. My feet are cold." She said, "Big deal. He does that every day. It's never been a problem until today." But she said, "I just kind of marched him along and put him in the car gently, and I drove off." Now, I have to warn you, you're going to want to try some of these things. Kids do not take this lying down. They go straight for the jugular vein every time you do it, right? And he did. He was in the car. "If you loved me, you wouldn't have me in the back seat of the car in my pajamas, no shoes." And we had talked about it the night before, and we said, never argue with the ridiculous. So she just said, "I'm glad I'm going to be to work on time," and she drove off. Now, he didn't give up that easy. He tried the rest of his repertoire, kicking the back of the seat, jumping up and down, raging, roaring, pretty soon waving to passing motorists like he's being kidnapped. And pretty soon in the back seat of the car, there's this squeaky little voice saying, "Guess I'll have to be dressed after this." And he has been. But whose choice was that? Now, what he did not know is mother had set up what we call a training session, and I'm very big on training sessions, because lots of times kids can do things and get us, and we don't seem to have the resources at the time to be able to combat it. But on a training session, we have decided, well, we have this particular problem, it goes on all the time, so we're going to wait till next week and get all of our ducks in a row, and we're going to get this all set up so everybody knows what we're doing. What Brian did not know was that the daycare center knew all about this. The daycare center lady was waiting for Brian in wild anticipation. Because mom called her up and said, "We're going to have a training session tomorrow morning. I wish you would help me. If he shows up at the daycare center in his pajamas, don't let him come in. And don't tell him what he has to do. Just say to him, 'Brian, you're welcome to come in as soon as you get dressed.'" There was a training session that I heard about just recently because one of the people in one of my classes said she was having a terrible time with the kid at the grocery store, acting up. She said, "Isn't it strange? When we go someplace he wants to go, he's an angel. When we go someplace I want to go, he's a demon. What do we do?" And she set up this training session. She called up her friend, and they had it all set up. She called up and said, "Would you stay at a certain telephone over there in the shopping center? I'll probably be calling you." So she goes off shopping, and this little guy is acting like a monster. And she gave him a couple of choices. She said, "Would you rather shop nicely with me, or would you rather go sit in your room? Which would you rather do?" Well, he knew there was a bluff, and so he called the bluff. He just kept acting up. She took him by the hand, walked over to the nearest phone, dialed it up, and without even saying hello, she just said, "Shopping is not fun. Please come." Now, this little guy's eyes were getting a little bit bigger, but he still believed it was a hoax, see? Well, it wasn't 20 seconds later, and here comes the neighbor lady, grabs him by the arm and says, "Let's go to your room." And Mom shopped and had a wonderful time, and he did not have a wonderful time because the neighbor lady took him home, said, "Get in your room. You can come out when your mother gets here." She says, "I don't have to be that nice to him. He's not my kid." Right?
I like the idea of a training session, Jim. It reminds me of the kind of training you'd get on the job. And if it works there, why wouldn't it work at home?
See, parents are expecting an awful lot of themselves if they think that they can just react effectively to everything that happens with kids. It's far better if we can cut down the number of things we have to react to by kind of observing our kids and thinking about what's really happening, and we'll see patterns in the way they attack us in the store or at bedtime or at the table. We'll see those patterns, then we can start planning ahead. Then if we can have a few of these strategic training sessions along the way, they cut down the need for us to have a lot of reactions to things that happen. I mean, the kids are a little more cautious about how they approach us. It's kind of like in a football team. When the other football team changes its strategies, then the opposing team is a little more cautious about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And this happens with the kids. So what we want to do here is always say to ourselves, I'm going to work on this problem when I have the energy, when I have the emotional stability, and when I have some resources to back me up. So that means I'm probably not going to deal with it today. And when I lower the boom on this, in other words, when the lesson is really learned, that's going to come like a lightning bolt right out of the blue. It's the last thing the kid expected, and he will remember for the rest of his life. And we're not doing something mean. If we were doing something mean and punitive, I would say that would be a horrible way to work with kids. But what we're doing is just taking good care of ourselves. We've got the empathetic response. We've got the consequence. We've got, oh, that's really sad that worked out that way. And we have a child who's doing a lot of thinking about how he or she is going to act in that situation next time. You'll hear some examples of varieties of strategic training sessions in these next situations here.